We're going to talk about today the tochacha of nitzavim, the admonition of nitzavim. We typically have a tochacha when it comes to kisavo, but Parshas Nitzavim starts off with its own tochacha. And let me, I'm going to do the share screen here. Oh, hi, Sandra. Okay. So, one second. Okay, I'm share screening now. Let me get to, okay. So there's Parshas Nitzavim begins with a tochacha, right? Atem nitzavim hayom kolchem lifnei Hashem elokeichem, right? You are standing in front of Hashem, tapchem, nishechem, all your kids, from your wood chopper to your water drawer, la'avracha b'vris Hashem elokecha v'lasor asher tziva asher Hashem elokecha koreis ibcha hayom, to enter into a covenant. We're going to read about 10, 20 psukim, and then we're going to ask a whole host of questions, give two approaches. But there's a tocha going on here. Then it says, l'mano kimo oschal hayom lo la'av v'hu yeh l'cha l'elokim, that Hashem will be for you a God. And he writes in Pasuk Yudim of Lordchem Levadchem Anochi Koreis Tzibris Hazot V'Esolah, I'm not merely entering into this covenant with you, ki es asher yeshna po imanu obed hayom lifnei Hashem Elokeinu, ves asher inenu po imanu hayom. I'm entering into this covenant with those of you who are here today and those of you who are not here today. Ki atem yedatem asher es asher yeshavnu be'eretz Yisrael ves asher avadu b'kerev hagoyim asher vartem. Because you know that we dwelt in Egypt, and that we pass through the midst of other nations through which you pass. And you have seen these awful things of stone and wood. And pen yeshbachem isha isha mishpacha shaver asher levavo pode hayom mimashem lokechem lalechas avodas elohei haglib haheim pen yeshbachem shorish porev rosh v'lada. And maybe what's going to happen? What are you? You're going to say, you know, I'm going to serve another god. There's going to be something rotten in you that you're going to want to serve the other god. V'haya b'shamos divrei halal zos, that when you hear this curse, v'sparech b'vole mor shom yi'ali ki b'shrirus li b'eilech l'man s'fos haros esatzmei. Again, I'm translating this all very loosely. A person's going to say, listen, there was this covenant. I don't really need it. Lo yoveh Hashem sloch lo. Hashem is not going to forgive him. And then ki oz yasham Hashem es yashan af Hashem kinoso, Hashem's going to let him have it. Vivdilo Hashem l'ram mikol shibte Yisrael. So, and then basically kecholos habris k'suba sefer Torah zeh. And Hashem's going to single him out, and it's going to be bad for him. So we just had the whole kisavo, and God said, I'm going to punish you if you're bad. And then we have another tocha. Someone's going to say, this doesn't apply to me. I mean, that's very interesting, that I would have thought that kisavo applies to everyone. And then, so in other words, the first 10 psukim in Nitzavim basically describe a situation where someone thinks that everything will be okay, and Hashem says no, Hashem will not forgive him, and Hashem will punish him, as it is written in last week's Parsha. Just in case you think we were joking, and just you think I can opt out, you cannot opt out. And then we have another 10 psukim. V'amar hador ha'acharon b'neichem asher yakumu me'achreichem v'anochi asher yavou be'eretz rechoka, and there will be and a later generation, your children, and maybe the non-Jew, the stranger who will come, or the non-Jew who will come from a distant land, they're going to see all these plagues. Gufris v'melach sreifa kol aretza. They're going to see, right? This could be like Sodom and Amora, right? Gufris v'melach. It could be sulfur and salt. Lo tizarav lo tasmiach v'lo yakob b'kol esav. Hashem is going to destroy this area. Kemapecha Sodom v'Amora. So your children and other nations will see what's happened to the land. And Va'amur, they're going to say, the Goyim are going to say, Ma'asa Hashem kachalo la'aretz azos. What happened? And Va'amru, al asher azbas b'risa Hashem elokei avosa. Because they abandoned the covenant. V'yachu v'yavdu alihi b'acherim. And they worshipped other gods. V'yichar af Hashem ba'aretz ahi la'vi olea. Es kol ha'kola k'suvam sefer azed. Hashem got angry to bring upon them this entire curse. And Hashem uprooted them from their soil in anger and fury, great wrath. Hadisaros, and then finishes Hadisaros Hashem Elokeinu, that which is hidden is to God. Vaniglos lo dovenu ad olam, and that which is revealed is for us and for our children. So again, after the first 10 psukim, I did this a little quickly. The first 10 psukim, maybe there's someone who thinks he can opt out from the tochacha of last week's parsha, the admonition that I don't want to be bound one way or the other. And what's going to happen? Hashem's going to punish him, And then the next 10 psukim say, when other nations see this, they're going to ask what happened. And the response could be that they violate Hashem's agreement. The hidden issues will be taken care of by Hashem, but the things that are revealed should be taken care of us. So I'm going to now ask four questions, and then I'm going to ask you for your thoughts, and then I'm going to share two approaches. Okay? So here are my four questions. Question number one. Why do we have this additional speech, right? Why do we have this additional speech? Why Hashem just finished discussing in last week's Parsha all that will happen to the Bnei Yisrael if they don't observe the mitzvos? And what is this? Is this all a joke? Like someone could think he could opt out? Are you serious that after Kisavo, someone's going to think that I could just opt out, that they won't be punished? Why do you need to stress that Hashem won't forgive them? Obviously, Hashem's not going to forgive them. That's my first question. Second question is, why the mention about, oh, by the way, this applies not just to those who are here today, but to those who are not here today? Isn't that the concept of a treaty? In Kisavo, when last week's Parsha, we had the Tocha. So this is with all of Klal Yisrael. Well, it's only for this generation? Okay. My third question is, why the last pasuk in Chav Ches, the speech about the hidden versus the revealed? Why is it concluded with that? And then, what's the shift between the first 10 psukim and the last 10 psukim? I don't know if you realize, but grammatically, the first 10 psukim is referring to what? One person. One person will say, it's not going to happen to me, right? Pen yesh b'chaim isho isho mishpachaim, I mean, one person. V'haya b'shamo, one person. And then, it switches to plural, v'ra'u, right? And v'amru, v'amru, right? Okay? So it seems like it's one seamless transition, but it's really two different sections. So I want to try to understand why you have this additional speech. Why mention it for those who aren't around now? Is that obvious? What's this nistaros versus niglos? What's the relevance of that to this section? And what's this shift between the first 10? How does the first 10 psukim relate to the next 10 psukim? So I'm curious, what are some of your thoughts here? Any of the questions? Yeah? Evan? Yeah.
There's an addition here which does not appear in Kisavo or in Bufu Kosai.
Yeah.
And that's the element of Tshuva, that Vashavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, which is not mentioned at all, in best of my knowledge, in Kisavo or in Bufu Kosai. That's probably the essence of the whole Parsha, that you will do Tshuva at the end, and you will be redeemed by Hashem. So whether it's us, that generation, or future generations, promising that there will be tshuva, okay. Will take you back.
So you're saying, Evan, you're saying that we cannot answer any of my questions. You say we cannot fully answer any of my questions until we continue to Perek Lamed. And you're saying that this is all, in other words, this wants to say that this may happen, but there is a process of tshuva. Okay, it's a fair point. I'm going to try to make a different point, but clearly Nitzavim, expresses a hope and expresses the future of their big tshuva, and I think we've spoken about in previous Urim, about is it a commandment, is it a promise, and is it telling you what the future is going to hold? And there certainly is that aspect. I'm not going to, because I'm only focusing on the first 20 psukim, but one could look at the whole parsha in totality and see it all relates, and that's a fair way of looking at it. I'm not going to look at it like now, but it's a fair way of looking at it. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, thought about the second question.
Yeah.
What did it have to say? It involves those people that are here, those people that are not here.
Right.
I think it's not obvious, because if you're talking to the Dor HaMidbar, and they saw that the people that were did the Chet HaEgel all were sentenced to death, and those people that weren't around
right.
At that time, or those people that were under 20 were not sentenced to death. And they figured, well, if a group, these bad things will happen for the people that are here, but maybe not for future generations.
So you're saying,
or
even
it's not a confidence uh-huh. all times.
You're saying Kisavo.
That's right. A big disparity.
Wow. So you're saying that Kisavo, someone would have a Havamina.
So I'm saying that
after Kisavo, you say that might only be for this next generation.
It might be,
okay.
Because they had grievous chatam, whatever.
Right.
Look, the whole generations were sentenced to death.
Okay.
for the Chet HaEgel.
Okay, I hear you.
Rabbi, why do you claim that you can't opt out? I mean, where do we have that a person can't opt out? I mean, I think people could think they could opt out.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
And the continuation of what Evan said, I think that the idea in the Southern is that no matter how bad it gets, and even if you think everything is lost, and even if you think you are lost, that you can always be true.
Right. Okay. I hear you. No, okay. It's a broader point. I think Evan's point, and Herbie, your point, your second point, I think that's totally a legitimate perspective looking at one big picture. I'm going to take two different approaches that doesn't address that, but I think that's certainly a fair way of looking at it. So let me...
seems to be focusing here on about the Zohar, you know?
Yes, that's the key. Yes, 100%. Let me share with you these two approaches. So getting back to something that Herbie said... Maybe an individual might think that he can opt out. The Ibn Ezra says, and by the way, here's my hakira. According to my first approach, we're speaking about individuals who think they can opt out or who later on might opt out. Ibn Ezra says that maybe, he says the following. Someone might say, Shalom Yali, peace will be to me. Even though that I'm going to follow with the straight, you know, with my, however I want to follow. I'm going to live because there's so many righteous people. There are many. In other words, I'm an individual who is a sinner. The truth is, there is a theological component about Yom Kippur that in Yom Kippur, as long as we consider ourselves part of the tzibur, the community, so then we can be forgiven even if we're a sinner. And as we can join together with the broader tzibur, obviously you have to want to do good. But here's this individual who's taking that to an extreme. He's saying, listen, God was speaking to the nation in general. Everyone around me is amazing. So I'm one guy. God's going to deal with the whole nation as a whole. God was speaking to the whole nation as a whole. So me, one person, I'm sinning, not a big deal. So he's speaking to that one person. In other words, I'm not just speaking to the whole nation, but I speak to every person within that nation. That's the way that Ibn Ezra looks at it.
There is a view in the Gemara that Yom Kippur is like Amnesty Day.
Yeah, no, 100%. You have to but Baruch, but the key is that you have to want to be part of the. You have to want to do good. You have to be shoving. You have to want to connect to the tzibur. In other words, it's not sufficient just to say, I'm going to sin, and then you know, with that in mind. I'm gonna sin, and then the Sa'ir Lazazel will do its work, and I'm good to go. You can't work with that assumption. If you're someone who tries, then we all try, and we all make mistakes, and then you wanna within the context of the broader community, you can be saved, but you have to want to be part of the tzibur and want to do good. That's what I'm saying. The Ramban has a different take on this, and he says. Pen yesh b'chem shoresh ra. Maybe there'll be a bad root. What's a root? You don't see it right now. She yifrach v'yishke v'yom habam yotze prachim ra'im v'yitzmach muros. That it's going to sprout. And then in the coming days, it will flower, weeds and bad flowers and bitter flowers. V'ze'al asher eninu po imanu hayom. What does it mean, those people who aren't with us today? In other words, there could be people... According to the Ramban, it might not happen immediately, but it might take root, but eventually it's going to spread. So that's what he's trying to say. That it could happen in the future generation. That the root is now, the root is here and now, but it might spread to the future. And that's what the Torah says, Pover Rosh. He wants to hint, the Ramban says, Ki mishorish matok lo yetze mar. If you have a sweet root, you're not going to have anything bitter coming out. So there might be right now, yeah, we're all listening, we're all going to do, good, but we have a bitter root. There's something about us that individuals who aren't happy with God, they're going to follow, but they have a bad root, and it's going to spread in the future. Ibn Ezra's saying, there might be someone who's going to opt out. The Ramban's going to say that maybe there'll be someone that, maybe the next generation, the previous generation, who maybe not intentionally, but they're going to feel that, it's going to start, it's going to seep in, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right, the different generations, or actually it didn't work out, but he mentions about, the Chacham, the person who goes off the boat, and then, you know, comes to America, the turn of the 20th century, and then the next person knew nothing about Judaism, and the other person knew less. So you have different situations. So that's sort of how the Ramban sort of takes that. The Malbim basically says the following. The Malbim essentially says, Yivar achashis kamu brachos vaklolos. I'm sort of putting Ramban, Ibn Ezra, and Malbim all together as sort of one approach. In other words, you're going to have certain individuals who are going to think it doesn't apply to me, or you have certain individuals who in the coming generations, you know, parents may not be so connected with God, and may that negativity will pass on to the next generation. And what's going to happen? Achashis kamu brachos vaklolos. So the first 10 psukim, what's going to happen? Bad things are going to happen to those people. Loyala b'libam shemeyaten ispatlu divrei abris. You shouldn't think that if something bad happens, that means the covenant is gone. Lazem odiyah b'mofes me'ona shegiya b'avonam shelokeinu. That's what he wants to say. Rak habris omedes b'takfa v'kem eslad. In other words, the first 10 psukim are saying, someone's going to opt out, or someone's going to try to opt out. Someone's going to, you know, seep in a bad root, is going to continue to the next generation, and bad things are going to happen. But don't think that that's the end of the relationship with God. Because what's going to happen? The next generation what's going to happen? Non-Jews or the children are going to say, what's happened to these people that punishments are happening? And they're not going to say, oh, God doesn't love them anymore. They're going to say that they're being punished, they're being disciplined because they left God's treaty. In other words, they really should be punished with a severe punishment. That God punished the seven nations. They did abominations in the land, and the land spit them out, right? They were destroyed. So maybe what should happen? With the other seven nations, what happened? The land threw them out, and the land was still beautiful. But what happened when we sinned? When we sinned, what happened? The land we weren't canceled, but the land simply became desolate. So in other words, and even though God got upset at us, but lo sabahem klaya, says the Malbim, we weren't destroyed. And essentially what he says, because summarize, what he says in the next paragraph is that you have, actually, we'll read the psukim. Let's go back here. So what's going to happen is, you're going to have, the way the Malbim explains like this, he says that, you know, when they see, like, you know, the land's going to be destroyed and bad things happen to the people, then you have two groups. You're going to have the next generation, the kids, are going to say, like, what happened? And the Nochri is going to say, what happened, right? The kids are going to see all these, you know, problems happening to Klal Yisrael, and the neighboring nations are going to see that also, right? They're going to see what's going on here. So the non-Jews are going to say, what happened here? That's Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Dalet says the Malbim, who's Va'abru? That's the B'nechem. The children are going to say, God didn't leave us, but they left the covenant. That we left the covenant, we worshiped other gods, and God got angry, and then he cursed us with what happened, right? And therefore, right? And then, perhaps leading to what Evan's point, Herbie's point, then we're going to do tshuva at the end. But in other words, the next time psukim is a response to what's going to happen if a group of people think they don't have to follow, or they're going to have this twisted, poisonous, you know, feelings that's going to eventually manifest itself in not serving God. And the final point that the Malbim makes, read this inside, and he's going to say that hanistaros, he's going to say the hidden things, that when it comes to the Golus Yisrael, v'shim masaretz, he says, listen, we're stuck in Golos. Malbim's living right in the 19th century in Europe. He said, there are bad things happening. There's a Golos, and there are many things that we don't know. That's up to Hashem. There are things we're not going to have answers. There could be times where we're all, you know, fulfilling Torah and mitzvahs, and we're still in Golos. That's for Hashem. But Vaniglos, Lodi Vani Adalab. But we are still obligated, even though we're in Golos, we're still obligated to do as Kol Divrei Torah Hazos. Because even though Hashem, you know, punished us, it doesn't mean that he left the covenant. It doesn't mean that we're no longer in a relationship, that we still have to observe Torah mitzvah. So again, The first approach, again, big picture, first approach is what's going on at the beginning of Parshat Tzavim, after this whole curse, where Hashem said this treaty that everyone has to follow. Everyone, no exceptions. Everyone has to follow. But there might be someone who's going to say, I can be saved by the Klal, says the Ibn Ezra. Or Rabban, it might seep in that someone's not going to, follow. Eventually they're going to serve other gods. They're not going to follow. So then they're going to be punished. And then the nations of the world, says the Bible, are going to see what's going on. They're going to think, well, what should happen is the God should leave them. And no, and Klal Yisrael, the B'necha, the children are going to say, no, God didn't leave us. We're simply being punished. That's sort of one approach that the function of Nitzavim is to explain what's going to happen when someone opts out, what will happen. There's another way, perhaps, I think that we could read this. And I think it's related to this Rashi. Rashi says, Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu. Rashi says, oh my gosh, if someone sins, they're going to be punished. So, Im Torah, Babi Adir Lazos, what can we do? Atamani Shetzarab El Hura Yachin. If an individual wants to do a sin, so God's going to punish the masses, right? Because what did the Torah say? Pen Yesh Bachem Ish. Right, what did Tzom say? Let's, there's one person who has bad thoughts and he does something bad, then God's going to do this horrific punishment. What are we supposed to do? We can't read people's minds. Right? Veroas makos aretz. Velo enidom yodia tuminosav shel chavero. You don't know what your friend's thinking in his head. So don't worry, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ein ani mani shishchem al nistaros. I will not punish you on hidden things. Shehein l'ashem elokeinu v'yifrah me'oso yachid. You're not Klal Yisrael, you're not responsible for what an individual will do in the privacy of his own home. But if we know that what someone's doing and they're sinning, then we have to eradicate that evil. And if not, then the masses will be punished. In other words, according to this approach, everyone is entering into the treaty. But what's the reality? The reality is, there's going to be one rotten apple. So Parshas Nitzavim, according to my second approach, is Hashem is not speaking to each individual. Make sure that you don't back out of this treaty. What we're speaking now to is to all of Klal Yisrael. What do you do in the likelihood that someone will back out of that treaty? In other words, it's not unexpected. It is expected. There will be someone, or there will be more than one person, who's going to back out of the treaty. And the question is, how do we respond? And perhaps the Torah is sharing with us this reality, that there will be deniers based on the reasons of the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, and they will try to convince others. And we have to respond harshly. And if we don't, then we will suffer the fate of the second half of the 20 Psukim. In other words, you can look at this is how to respond to the deniers. Will we simply be desensitized to their behavior, or are we going to try to act on it to try to correct their behavior? So again, we can look at the beginning of the Tzavim as saying we have the whole tochacha, and no one's allowed to back out. Don't think you can back out. If you do try to back out, or if your subsequent generation will back out because you are not totally committed, then that's going to result in punishment, but it's not the elimination of a treaty between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's simply they're going to be disciplined. The second approach is really Hashem is speaking to the Klal, and they're saying, it's going to happen. It's human nature. People are going to sin for whatever reason, but we have to take a strong stand. We have to take a compassionate stand, but a strong stand to try to eradicate that evil. Don't simply say, free market, people can do what they want. We have to try to inspire each other to keep Torah and mitzvot. Because if we don't, then to some extent we're also held culpable. We have to try to do what we can to make sure that the Klal is observing Torah and mitzvot. So I think there are two ways to look at the beginning of Parshat Tzavim, and then God willing, if we inspire those who are denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that will lead to the tshuva that we so eagerly await in Perek Lamed.